Welcome to The Light of the World. This is Jerry G. Martin. When you're in the middle of a trial or a storm, what is your first response? Is it to try to work everything out on your own and see what you can do to fix it? Or is it a biblical response? The Bible tells us, first of all of our ways, acknowledge the Lord and He will direct our path. Secondly, we're told to have faith in God. Many of you are going through some tremendous challenges right now. It could be in your health. It could be in your family. It could be in your finances. Join us as we continue this series on faith. We are the people of God, and the just shall live by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Come and go with us as we walk in the light of God's Word.
Faith, when you boil it down to its simplest definition, is just believing. Faith is believing that whatever God says, that's what's going to happen. We who are called by the name of the Lord, we who are the people of God, will never accomplish the things that God has in store for us if we do not exercise faith to believe that God is able. Now listen, if all you're ever going to do for God is just come to church and sing a couple of songs and have a little prayer, give your offering and go home, you don't need faith for that. Every person that God has called, God has a purpose for your calling. He didn't call you to sit soaking sour. He called you to get up and be involved in the kingdom of God and to accomplish something for the kingdom. And if you're going to do that, it's going to take faith. You just can't just sit around and wait for things to go bad and say, Lord, I need you to move for me. Lord, say, why? You ain't doing nothing. But when you're going to accomplish something for God, He's always going to give you an assignment that's greater than your capacity to get it done. And you're going to have to believe God for it. Look in the scriptures. Everybody God called, they just looked at God and said, really? Moses, go talk to Pharaoh. Tell him to let my people go. Are you kidding me? Me, go talk to Pharaoh after I done killed somebody in Egypt and ran away? And who am I that's going to talk to Pharaoh? I got it, Moses. I got you. Just go do like I tell you. Gideon, mighty man. Gideon said, who are you talking to me? Gideon was hiding in a cave. The Midianites was all over the place. He was hiding. And God said, you're my mighty man. Gideon said, you can't be talking to me. He says, if you're talking to me, Lord, show me a sign. And he threw something out there on the ground. God showed him a sign. He said, okay, let's do it backwards. Everybody is challenged when God is calling us to a higher place and a different place in our lives. And Jesus said, if you're going to do that, it's going to require faith, because God will get the glory out of what you're going to do. Every once in a while, somebody say to me, Pastor Martin, you're doing a great job over there. You building church. I'm saying, you know what? If God hadn't been involved, we would have gotten nothing done. When I was involved, we were five people in a room. We couldn't make it grow. Only God makes it grow. Only God provide. Only God do those things. We have seen the miracle hand of God over and over in our congregation. It is God. We had to stretch and walk by faith, not by sight. We had to believe God. You're sitting here because we believe God for this place. We believe God for this property. We couldn't do this on our own. We didn't have the power or the capacity to do anything but God. Jesus is telling them, you need a lesson in faith. While he was standing at the home of the sisters who were mourning, Jesus said this in verse 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe I'm the resurrection and the life? Do you believe if you die, I can bring you back to life? Do you believe that if you believe in me, you never die? Jesus tells the disciples that God wanted to display his power so that they may believe. Now he's asking, Martha, do you believe I am the resurrection? Do you believe this? Now, they are already distraught. They are already concerned about what took him so long to come. And if you had been here, if you read the text, he said, now, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. They're getting on his case. They're laying it at his feet. They're trying to throw him under the bus. And he said, no, if you believe, do you believe I'm the resurrection? Do you believe this? In that verse, Jesus had just given them and us the gospel message. Whoever believe in me will not perish, but shall have everlasting life. If you believe in me, you're not going to perish. Even though you die physically, you're not going to die. You're going to live forever in eternity with God. When we come to Christ, we exercise our faith. We believe he died for our sins, and he offers us eternal life. You got to believe that to be saved. You got to stretch your faith. It requires faith for you to even come to Christ. You got to believe that he died on a cross and that he was raised up on the third day. You got to believe that enough to say, I accept you as my Lord and Savior to come into my life. And he's saying, do you believe I'm the resurrection? I've resurrected you from your dead sin life, and now I'm giving you an eternal life. You will never die again. Though you may die physically, you are not going to die spiritually. We will not perish, but we will have everlasting life. That's for the believers. That's for the believers. There's two destinations for men. One is heaven, the other is hell. And we can't buy what we've been hearing all the time, every time somebody dies. We know he's in a better place. We don't know he's in a better place. We just know he's not here. But for those who are believers, when our time is up, we will just fall asleep. Only those who have not committed their lives to Christ and believe in him will suffer the eternal death of separation from God. You will be eternally separated from him, which is that eternal death. And then Jesus tells them, take away the stone in verse 29. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odor, for he's been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, he's emphasizing that again. Didn't I tell you if you believe, you would see the glory of God? In other words, Jesus is saying, what does a stone have to do with it? What does a bad odor have to do with it? What does him being dead 4 days got to do with it? Didn't I already tell you? See, the Lord is now ready to go to work and release his miraculous power on the behalf of Martha and Mary and the rest of the family and friends. And the first thing he had to do was to overcome the challenges to the faith. There's always going to be a challenge to your faith. When God speaks to you and tells you how things are going to go, you're still going to be challenged to your faith. The doctor will tell you something altogether different. He'll tell you to go to hospice. God tell you to go home. But there's going to be a challenge to your faith. Whose report are you going to believe? There's a challenge to your faith. God told Moses, go get my people and take them to the promised land. And they were shouting and rejoicing, remember, when they were leaving Egypt. And the first thing they run into is the Red Sea. And the people turn around now, why you bring us out here to kill us? We could have died in Egypt. Pharaoh's at their back, the Red Sea's at the front, they're boxed in, they can't go anywhere. And then Moses come to God and say, Lord, look at where we're at. God said, I know where you're at. Why comest thou to me? Didn't I say we go into the promised land? Yeah, but here's the Red Sea. Okay, so do something. Stretch forth your hands. Speak to the sea. Moses stretched forth his hand, and you know the rest. They were walking across on dry land. God said, the Red Sea ain't got nothing to do with what I said gonna happen. Your obstacles, the things that you see, doesn't have anything to do with what I say is going to happen. I am the creator. I can make things move when I want it to move. I can cause things to rise up. I can cause things to fall down. I am God. Now notice Jesus did not respond to the facts. The facts were that there was a stone there. He just told somebody to move it. But the facts were that there was an odor that let them know that this body was decaying and he had been there. But Jesus did not respond. He didn't even say anything about the odor or the fact that he'd been there for 4 days. Jesus knew the facts were that Lazarus was dead. But I'm going to tell you something. Faith fight the facts. And faith negates the facts. It doesn't matter what the facts are when faith is involved. God will turn the facts around and say, no, whatever I say, that's what is real. Jesus responded, did I not tell you after they told him about the odor? Well, okay, I understand what you're saying, but did you hear what I said? I said that if you believed, you will see the glory of God. And that's what I want you to know right now. If you believe, you will see. If you can believe it, you can see it. Our problem is we don't believe it. We believe it conceptually, but we don't believe it in our heart. This is what God said. This is what I'm going to stand on. I heard God speak to me. I heard God through his word. I know what God is saying in my life and in my heart and in my situation. And so I will believe God. And I'm going to stand on that belief no matter what I see, because we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and we don't walk by sight. Jesus did not raise Lazarus from the dead just because he loved Lazarus and he loved the family. He raised Lazarus from the dead so that they could see, and so we could see how faith works. That's why he says God is going to get some glory out of this. I need you to see this. I'm glad I wasn't there when he died, because you would be trying to say, come on, Lord, come on now. He's almost out of here. Come on, say something. I want you to see. If he don't die, somebody might have thought, well, he wasn't that sick. He was just kind of in a comatose state and all of that. No, we're going to be sure he's dead, because you're going to be sure he's going to come back to life when I get through with it. Jesus challenged them to believe in the power of God when they were at their lowest, weakest moment, and in the midst of their greatest sorrow. I don't know why God lets us get to a point sometime when we're at our weakest, lowest moment. But it's at those weakest, lowest moments sometime that we can see the mighty hand of God moving. Amen. At those weakest and lowest moments, we'll have a great testimony when we come from a great tragedy or troubling place. It is times like that when we need to believe God and stretch our faith to see the power of God working for us. Now, notice something. I noticed something when I read this story about Lazarus. When Lazarus came forth, the scripture does not mention anything about what happened after they took off the grave clothes. It doesn't say, boy, they had a big feast, they had a big party, people came from around surrounding towns and came in and heard Lazarus' testimony and all of that. It just said he just took the grave clothes off. It wasn't about a big party. I believe Jesus wanted to get the message that miracles for the believers are not just super, but they're just natural. Jesus is saying, you know what? The way that things are designed for the life of the believers, we ought to have all kinds of testimony all the time. It ought not be so supernatural. It ought to be just natural if you believe, because everybody got something going on all the time. We ought to just be saying, well, God just moved for me on that. God moved for me on this. God moved for me on that. Instead of just having a woe is me, a sad story all the time, all the believers lining up to see whose story is the worst. We ought to just be saying, oh, yeah, but God moved, but God moved. We're just crying, oh, Lord, pray for me. Please pray for me. Please pray for me. He said, let's not make a big show out of this thing about Lazarus. This is something that ought to be happening just like that. If you believe, you can see it. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? See, I believe Jesus wanted us to get the message that miracles and signs and wonders ought to be commonplace among the believers. Let me just share with you just some scripture as I was looking at what does it mean to believe in the book of Matthew chapter 9. If you read that whole chapter, it's just one miracle after another, just coming one behind the other. And I said, look at the power of God working for those who believe. Matthew chapter 9 verse 2 says, some men brought to him a paralytic lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. Then he said to the paralytic, get up, take your mat and go home. When he saw their, what? Their faith. When he saw that they believed enough to come and said, this man need to be healed. And the man got up and went home. Just like that. He said, if you believe it, you can see it. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe. And who did they praise? They praised God. God wants to get some glory all the time. God wants glory, and God still wants to get some glory out of your life. He wants to get some glory. He wants people to see something that's going on with you, and the only way it can be explained is that God did it. The only way it can be explained. They say, well, what happened to you? I thought you were going under. I was going under, but God. Let me tell you what God did. Let me show you what God did. I called on the Lord and he heard my cry and he came and he rescued me. He healed me. He delivered me. He brought me out. He gave me some wisdom. He did it. God did it. God did it. God did it. Verse 20, same chapter. Well, just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, if I only touch his cloak, I will be healed. King James said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. That sounds a little bit better preaching, don't it? If I could just touch the hem of his garment. She said, I believe this. If I could just touch him, I'd be healed. And he said, take heart, daughter, your faith has healed you. If you could believe it, you can receive it. And the woman was healed from that moment. If you read the story, Jesus said, now somebody touch me. His disciples said, all these folks, how do you know? He said, no, somebody touched me with a different touch. Somebody touched me with a touch of belief. Somebody touched me to receive something from me. Somebody touched me. I know that touch. I know that touch. There's a touch that God knows when you're coming to him and say, Lord, I know that you have the answer for whatever I'm going through. I've tried everything else, but I know you have the answer. When he hears that touch, when he feels that touch, God moves. God moves. Verse 27, Jesus went on from there. Two blind men followed him, calling out, have mercy on us, son of David. And when he had gone indoors, the blind came to him and he asked him, do you believe I'm able to do this? Yes. Then he touched their eyes and he said, according to your faith, it will be done to you. And their sight was restored. We are people of faith. We walk by faith. Faith is not something that you just need to put over to the side and say, Lord, I just need more faith. How many of you asked for more faith? Some of you have been praying for more faith. And you don't need more faith. You just need to use the faith you got. Amen. Just believe God. Faith is not something you gather up in some big container and walk around and say, look how much faith I got. You just use the faith you got. Lord, I just believe what you said enough to take action on it and to stop repeating what I heard and start repeating what you're telling me. Romans chapter 4, verse 18 says, against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed, and so became the father of many nations. Just as it has been said to him, so shall your offspring be. And verse 19, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old and that Sarah's womb was also dead, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. God said it. No matter how old I am, if God said that that's going to happen, that's going to happen. He can look at Sarah and say, but God said that. He was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, verse 21, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he promised. Now, how many of you are persuaded? That's what Jesus is talking about. You need to be persuaded. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe that God has the power to do what he promised? We believe that until we get in the middle of our troubles. We believe that as long as we're not going through anything. We'll tell other people that. God is able. Then when we're going through, oh, Lord, I have no idea what to do now. How do we get here? No, you have to believe God for yourself when you're right in the middle. God had promised the Israelites a promised land. He said, you're going to go to the land of promise. I got a place that's flowing with milk and honey. You'll have houses you didn't have to build. It's going to be a prosperous land. I'm taking you from Egypt. I got a place for you. Hebrews 4:1 tells what happened. It says, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of God's rest or what God has purposed for you. For we also have had the gospel preached to us just as they did, the Israelites, but the message they heard was of no value to them. because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. They heard the message, but it was no value. They didn't put faith with it. How do we know that? Because when they sent the 12 spies over to spy the land out, 10 of them come back and say, we can't go in there. They got some giants in there. Joshua and Caleb say, yeah, we can go. But 10 of them say, we can't go. Now they come back with big old grapes and all the fruit of the land. Well, look at what they got. But we can't go there. That was the time that God says, now really, after I promised you that, after you've seen me take you out of Egypt, after you've seen manna in the wilderness, after you've seen water come out the rock, after you've seen me take care of you all through the wilderness, and now you're telling me I can't provide what I promised to you. That's when he said, all of you who've come out of Egypt, you will not go into the promised land. You're going to die in the wilderness. I'm going to give it to your children because you do not believe that I'm able. Some of us will never get God's promise in our life because we don't believe that he's able. When we come to the point of possessing it, we'll look at the giants and we say, that's all right. And God says, wait a minute, you don't think I can whoop a giant? Here's the question today. We saw the Lazarus miracle. We read in Matthew, here's the blind man. Here's the man that was paralyzed. Here's the woman with the issue of blood. Here the two blind men say, yeah, we believe. And he said, according to your faith, be it done to you. My question today is, who's next in line for a miracle? That miracle is that thing that's going on, that trouble in your life, what you've heard. You don't know what to do about it. You don't know how to go forward. You know what you've heard, and maybe you've been responding to what you've heard, but have you gotten with God? Maybe you've heard in your spirit that God is able to do the impossible, but the facts tell you it's not going to happen. You know, God will speak to his people and says, I got this. But the facts are just so overwhelming that we just let the facts just take us down another course, even though we may have heard what God has spoken in our spirit. I got this. Just trust me. God is still looking for somebody today to say, Lord, I believe. This message is a message I wasn't planning on giving, but after last week I came back here because I believe that there's some people that's listening right now that have some facts. You've heard some facts that you think it's going to be impossible for you to work through this. You're just kind of maybe losing a little bit of hope for whatever it is you've heard. Maybe sickness in your body, maybe a relational issue, maybe a financial issue, maybe something with your children, maybe something with your marriage, maybe something and you're not quite sure. I want to say this. You go to God and say, okay, Lord, I want to hear from you. I believe that you have the answer for me.
It was Jesus Christ who asked the question, where can I find such faith in Israel? Are you one that when the Lord look at you, he can say, that's a person who has great faith? Great faith is demonstrated by exercising the faith that we have. This is Jerry G. Martin, and thank you again for listening to our broadcast today. We certainly hope that it's been a blessing and a benefit to you as you walk with the Lord. And if you're not walking with the Lord, here's a great opportunity to receive what Jesus Christ has already given us. And we receive it by faith, just inviting him to be the Lord of our life, to come in and take control of our life as we trust him for our life today and our life eternally. If you would like to hear today's message again, go to our podcast at The Light of the World Daily with Jerry G. Martin. You can hear today's message and any previous messages that have aired on this station. Let me share with you that the Light of the World Christian Fellowship is open every Sunday and having services in person. Join us Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock at 16161 Old Humble Road in the North Houston Humble area. Pastor Jackie Martin is in a dynamic series right now, and it will surely be a blessing to you. You can listen to our online services each Sunday morning at 10. Go to lowcf.org. lowcf.org. The Beacon Bookstore is open on our campus for all of your books, Bibles, and church supplies. Call The Beacon, 281-441-2885. Now for the light of the world, this is Jerry G. Martin saying, may the Lord our God richly bless you, and we'll be with you again next time.